الصلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد.
الله اكبر.
الله اكبر. الله اكبر. الله اكبر. قام
نايم. اعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، الله is the one who has created all things. And when he created all things, the price of creation is obedience. Natural obedience. Hence, when everything is created, it has no will of its own, but it does what is the will of its creator. So when Allah created everything, no one had the freedom to choose. No one had the freedom to choose. Then Allah gave that or offered that freedom and said that who will obey me through their own free will? Two, he gave this freedom of choice to human beings. Now, the first offering of freedom was by Allah. He offered us freedom. Now we can choose. What do we choose? What is this freedom? What are we free to choose? Just think about this for a minute. What are we free to choose? The freedom of choice that we have, or the freedom that we have, is the freedom to set a price for ourselves. The freedom to set a price for ourselves. So we, insan, are walking around saying we are for sale. That we want to sell ourselves. Who do you want to sell yourself to? Some people sell themselves for a very cheap price. Some people sell themselves for a very cheap price. And some people, they find the right price for themselves. When you sell yourself, then whoever is buying you will become your master. Whoever is buying you will become your master. Whoever you're selling yourself to. So some people sell themselves to the dunya. And hence dunya becomes their master. And they are known as abidul dunya. Some people sell themselves to their nafs, to their desires. And they become slaves of their desires. They become slaves of their desires. And some people sell themselves for a better price that Allah has set. And they sell themselves to Allah and they become Abdullah. So just let me just make it clear for you, my friends. Let it be clear that no one is absolutely free. There is no such thing as absolute freedom. Everyone is a slave. Everyone is a slave. No one can say that I am free. You want to know the divine concept or the Islamic concept of freedom? You are not free. No one can be free. Anyone who claims to be free doesn't know what freedom is. Everyone is a slave. The only choice we have is who is our master. I want to talk about social freedom, my friends. Individual freedom is this, really, that we, if we want to be free to the limit that we can, then become the servant and slave of Allah and you will be free. But not absolute, no one is absolutely free. That is a fallacy. It's a fallacy to say that I'm absolutely free. The only truthfulness is the fact that no, I'm freer than everyone else because I have chosen Allah as my master. That is individual freedom. Now let me just go and take you to social freedom. What do we mean when we say freedom in the terms of social concept? You see, when we divide the world, we can divide it in different ways. For example, in height, there's someone who's high, tall, someone who's short. In weight, because someone is fat, someone is thin. Different ways you can divide people. One way of dividing people is the influence they exert or the influence they take. In matter of influence, you can divide people into those that there are people who influence others or there are people who are influenced by others. Two ways of looking at it. You'll see this in every group of people. There are people who influence others. The way they are, they influence others. And there's people who are influenced by others. This is just a natural division I'm making for you. The whole world can be divided into this. Two types of people. If you're in a group, there will be always some people when they face a situation will say, well, what should we do? And there are always someone who will say, let's do this. So the person who was always influenced by others is always looking for influence. What will others say? And there are those who influence others, they will influence others. So now when you look at these two groups of people, usually what ends up happening whenever a person who exerts influence gets in contact with someone who takes influence, what ends up happening is that the person who exerts influence gains power and control over the one who takes influence. This is usually the case. There are those who are strong, there are those who are weak in every society. The strong end up becoming in charge of those who are weak. Those who are weak, they become in charge of those who are weak. So now, when they become in charge of those who are weak, then they will make the weak do what they want them to do. The weak will accept them because their natural tendency is to accept the influence of those who are strong. Those who are cunning, those who are sharper, those who are more influential. They can sway the people. Now, how do we stop the domination of the strong from the weak? How do we stop that? What is the way of doing, what is the way of becoming an obstacle of making sure that the strong don't take advantage of the weak, don't manipulate the weak? How do we do that? Well, the world came up with two ideas. In the whole history of the world, they came up with two ideas. The first idea was they say, alright, you know what? The strong are always few. The weak are always a lot. So they said, you know what? Let's give the power in the hands of the people. The weak. The weaker ones. Give the power in their hands. And let them take control and make sure that they're not oppressed. That's one idea. The second idea the world gave was that, all right, let's make these strong people be rivals of each other. Let them fight it out. When they will fight it out, then the poor or the weak will have the the chance to breathe and they can live. They came up with these two ideas. And both of these ideas are inherently flawed. The first idea, they said, that give the power in the hands of the people. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do it by letting them have elections and choosing their leaders. Letting them have election and let them choose their leaders. So now what happened is that the poor people, the weak people, now they can choose their leaders. If they don't like someone, then they can choose someone else through another election. Now the strong people, when they saw that, they said, all right, now we don't need to beat those people up. We don't need to strong hand those people. Now all we need to do is to sway their minds. Is to sway their minds. So how easy is it to sway the minds of people? How easy is it to sway the minds of people? The strong just look at this and laugh. Okay, now we don't even have to go and dominate them. Just spend money, get media time, and sway these people. And people will be swayed towards us. People will be swayed towards us. I mean, if you just want to know how easy it is to sway people, I mean, imagine this, you know, we Muslims also are swayed by such trivial things. I mean, you get an oppressor who comes, you have a person like Obama who comes to the Muslims and say, you know what, I'm going to pray Eid prayer with you. And Muslims are like, oh, mashallah, he's such a good person. He's such a good person. He made Eid prayer with us. That's all he had to do to get your vote? That's it? That's how easy it was for him to sway your mind? How easy is it to sway the minds of people? My friends, understand, this is what we need to understand. So now what happens is that when they sway the minds of people, again, they end up dominating over them. They end up dominating over them and manipulating the weak again. And you say, okay, let's wait till the next election or make them rivals. Now when they make them rivals, they say, okay, you know what, Republican versus Democrat. Now what happens is that we divide it into a two-party system or different parties. So if you have different parties, they'll fight with each other. The poor will have room to breathe. The poor will have room to breathe. So now what happens is that they set up this system. So now what happened is that the four who were strong, they all got together and they said, listen, let's make both these parties who we like. So you got a lobby. When you have APEC that goes around both to the Democrat Party and to the Republican Party and says, all right, this is our candidate from this party, this is our candidate from this party. And both candidates run in the election and you are voting for them. So who do you think will win? Neither the Republicans, neither the Democrats, neither you. Who wins? APEC. That's what happens. So now, how do you stop? Still, the problem is not solved. The strong dominate the weak. How do you solve that problem? This is a social problem, a natural problem. This is where social freedom comes in, my friends. How do you solve the problem? Islam solved the problem in two ways. Islam said two things, and that will solve your problem. One solution is from the above, the other solution is from the bottom. One solution comes from above, the other comes from the grassroots. The one that comes from above is called Wilayat. Allah has placed a wali over you. He has placed a wali over you. And the second thing that's from the bottom is called taqwa and piety and the fear of Allah. Two things He has made, one from the above, one from bottom. So now what does wilayat do? What does wilayat do? When you choose an Islamic leader, when you choose Ahlul Bayt or Imam as your leader, you see, you have to choose the Imam as your leader. Don't think that Imam is your leader. No, you have to choose him as your leader. Otherwise, if Imam was your leader, naturally Imam Ali wouldn't be in his house for 25 years. He wouldn't be in his house for 25 years because people didn't choose him. We have to choose the same choice we make. Who is, now when you establish wilayat, what happens with it? What does the wali do? The wali looks from above and sees that there are some strong people and there are many weak people. And the strong people are taking advantage of the weak people. So he tells those strong people, hey, wait a minute. Don't do this. You can't do this. And he becomes an obstacle for them and their plans of dominating the weak people. So whenever wilayat is established, and this is historical, whenever wilayat is established, you will never see the weak people against the wilayat. You will always see the people who are strong and dominate over others against the wilayat. Why? Because the wilayat goes against the interest of the rich and influential. Wilayat makes sure that those who are rich cannot use their money to hurt those who are poor. Wilayat makes sure that those who are strong do not use their strength to beat up on those who are weak. That is what wilayat does. Anyone who opposes wilayat, either you're ignorant or you have some ulterior motive inside of you that is going, that by having wilayat it goes against your interest.
Allah Akbar! Allah Akbar! Allah Akbar!
Can you imagine? This is my friend, I'm talking logic here, I'm not talking science, complicated stuff. I'm not in a habit of talking complicated stuff. I'm a simple man. And hence, I give a simple message. Understand this. Islam is very simple to understand, very easy. Why wilayat? Because wilayat is that which protects the rights of the weak. When you have wilayat, that is what protects the rights of the weak. Now, on the other hand, they say, well, what if that one wali goes astray? I'll explain that in a bit. Well, what if he starts to dominate over others? Then the second solution comes into play. It's called taqwa. It's called piety. It's called Allah's fear. When a person believes and fears in Allah, do you think anyone can come around and fool him? It is a fear of Allah and Allah's presence in your mind that gives you wisdom to understand what is haq and what is batil. So when you fear Allah and you increase your taqwa as the people, as the grassroots, then that taqwa is going to prevent any sort of wrong happening at the top. Understand this, my friend. This is very important to understand. We also have a role. The leader also has a role. When we play our role and the leader plays his role, then that society will be free and will have freedom. Then only will that society have freedom. The leader has to be that which Allah has chosen or on the standards that Allah has given. When you choose a leader according to those standards, then in that case, Allah, that wilayat, that umbrella will be there for the people. And when the people are ready to come forward and defend the truth and do not fear anyone but Allah, then those people will defend the rule of the wilayat. These two things are necessary, my friends. If people lose their taqwa, then the wali that's appointed by Allah cannot do anything to help them. And if there is no wali that you choose, and you choose someone else than the wali of Allah, then no matter how muttaqi you are, that wali will take your taqwa away from you. Look at both these things. Now, if you understood that, let me come to Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
16,000 letters were written to Imam Hussein. 16,000 letters inviting him, telling him to come. When Imam Hussein saw that the mu'mineen are ready to come to help him, then he, as the wali of Allah, appointed by Allah, knew that his obligation is to establish the wilayat and the system. When mu'mineen invited him, so he came forward. So on one hand you had the wali, and the people chose that wali. And on the other hand you had people who were ready to be with that wali. So both the things were in place. The wilayat was in place and taqwa was in place. Imam Hussein went to establish wilayat. Imam Hussein went to establish wilayat. When he went to establish wilayat, then those people who claimed to have taqwa lost their taqwa. When they stepped backwards, so now Imam Hussein was the wali, but the people on whom that he rules, those mu'mineen, lost their iman. And that's why Imam Hussein couldn't go any further. And that society could not reach freedom, could not be freed. So now that is a lesson for us. And Imam Hussein has taught that to us, that if we call our leader and choose Imam al-Zaman as our leader, and if we are inviting him, which we do, by the way, and we say, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, and we say, oh Imam, hasten your reappearance, then our call to the Imam is like the letters of the Kufans to Imam Hussein. It's like the letters of Kufas to Imam Hussein. So now if the Imam accepts that invitation and comes towards us, then if we move backwards, then obviously it's the Imam who will be in danger. So now my friends tell me, if we are looking for freedom, and that free world order that we are looking for is what? That free world order will only happen when the wali is on the standards that Allah has made, whether it's the Imam or Wilayat-e-Faqih. Either of these things, if that is what Allah has made, and we are those who are ready to defend and support His wilayat, if both these things come together, then that society will find complete freedom. Then and then only will you be free. Otherwise, if you live in any other place where the umbrella of wilayat does not exist, where the umbrella of wilayat does not exist, then it means you're living as a slave, you're not living as a free man. If you can only imagine the shade of freedom that was felt by those who were under the umbrella of Imam Hussein in Karbala. Now I want you to understand this, my brothers and sisters. If you can only imagine the freedom that was felt by those who stood in front of death's door in Karbala under the shade of Imam Hussein, what kind of a freedom was that? Can you smell that freedom? You want to feel that freedom. You want to feel that freedom. That you can be under the shade in front of death, and yet you treat death like a free man would treat it. You would accept it with a choice. That is freedom.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
That is freedom. Freedom is what? I choose to die this way. I choose to give up my life. This is freedom. A slave, you want to see a slave? He's running from death. Running. Go and see him at the health clubs. Running. That's what the angel of death says. You will die like a slave also, because you're a slave. And when you are a free man, you say, death, now come to me, I'm ready to embrace you. This is a free man. So you want freedom? Or you want to be a slave? This is the choice of a free man. Those who accepted the wilayat of Hussein were free. And if you accept the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt, then you will be free. It's the choice of the heart, my friends. You know, there are those people who say that, you know, they ask this question, right? They ask the question, and this is a question that might be in some people's hearts, and I'll reiterate this question. They say, you know, you say about this wilayat al-faqih, the authority of the alim, the faqih. Is this only for Iran or outside of Iran? And the answer you get is, from some people who don't understand that much. So the answer you get is one, that no, it's only for Iran. The next question is never asked. What's the next question? He said, listen, is it haram for me to obey him if he says something? Is it haram for me to obey him if he says something? Why would you want to do that for? Is it because the relationship with me and him is not that he is my president or I've elected him or anything? The relationship I have with that wali is that I love wilayat. It's an issue of the heart. I love it. I only want to obey him. I do not want to obey anyone else. Can anyone stop me from that?
Allah Akbar! Allah Akbar! Allah Akbar!
Can anyone take me from, can anyone take that from my heart? You can put me in jail, you can cut off my head, but you can never take the love of Allah's wilayat from my heart. You can never take it from my heart. It's an issue of the heart. It's not an issue of faith. It's an issue of love. That I love Allah's command. I want to obey Allah. I want to obey who Allah has told me to obey. Who's going to stop me from that? No one can stop me. My friends, those who don't understand this, they don't understand what love is. Poor people, they don't understand what love is. If you understood what love is, then you will understand if we are obeying someone through so many boundaries that have been created between me and him. So many boundaries have been created between me and him, and I still love him. For what? Because he's 6 foot tall? Because he can pump 200 pounds? No, the love is because Allah has pointed towards him. This is my love, my friends. He is the one that fits the standards that Allah has given. And when I see you who has fit the standard that Allah has given, then my obedience is at your command. Then I will say labbaik to you. I will say labbaik to you. This is freedom, my friend. And when you are like that, everyone here, understand this, if you feel the way I feel, if you feel that way, then you will feel what freedom is. If you don't feel that way, then you haven't felt freedom yet. If you haven't felt freedom yet, how can I make you understand what it feels like? How can I make you understand what it feels like? My friends, freedom. The new world order is what? Is coming. The new world order is coming. And what is coming? The fact that all these slaves and all these systems of slavery are soon to end because people are rising up against it. People are realizing and they're rising up against these systems of slavery. They say, we went to liberate Iraq. We went to liberate Afghanistan. Okay, but who's going to liberate them from you? Who's going to liberate them from you? You're just saying, in other words, what you're telling us is that we removed one master and we're replacing it with another master. That's all you're saying. And to us, we are saying that, listen, we do not accept any master but the one who's truly the master, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become free, my man. The free world order is what? Understanding in your heart, attaching your heart to Allah. That is the free world order. Bringing people. Revolutions don't happen with guns and bombs. Revolution happens when your heart has turned towards Allah. What is Islamic revolution? What is Islamic movement? What does freedom come from? It comes from Tawbah. It comes from Tawbah. And you know, I explained to the kids, and maybe the adults should also be hearing this. What is Tawbah? What is Tawbah? Tawbah is very simple, my friends. It is just that you realize that Allah is there. You know, I gave this example to the kids and I'll give it to you. I have 3 minutes left. And we need to close this amazing event that we had. Tawbah is very simple. I had a friend and we used to go to his house to meet him. His dad didn't want him to meet us. So we always used to have a secret signal. When we used to go in front of his house, we used to whistle. Secret whistle. And then he would come out. He'll sneak out of the house and he'll play with us. So we went one day and we whistled and he came out of the house. He came out of the house and he walked out. And as he walked out, you know, he saw that his dad is in the den. He's not looking, so he sneaked out of the house, and when he came to us, you know, he was walking slowly so his dad would notice, and as soon as he, you know, went a little bit away from the house, he started to act cool. Right away, his whole demeanor changed and he's like, what's up, man? You know, what's going on? And give me something, yeah, yeah. And, you know, talking all trash and all that. And, you know, like, watching him, you know, it's his dad, and all of a sudden, we saw his dad coming. So we're like standing up all straight, you know? Yes, sir, you know? Standing up all straight. And he's like, you know, what's wrong with you all, man? And he's talking all junk. Now he didn't see the father. His father is behind him. His father is like looking down at him. Probably shocked that his son is acting this way. He's acting this way. He's probably shocked at that. And that friend looked at us. He didn't look at the father. And he realized, by our demeanor, that my father might be behind me. And all of a sudden, all the trash talk is out the window, and he stands up straight, like a really pious person. He stands up straight. All of a sudden, he didn't see his father. His father didn't even say anything to him. He just realized that his father is watching. Just the fact that his father was watching him and that realization came to him changed his whole demeanor, his whole attitude, and now he's a completely different person. You see, we sin, we disobey, we are bad because we are not paying attention that Allah is watching us. The moment that we realize that, then it will change your whole life. This realization is called Tawbah. This is called Tawbah. Salawat ala Muhammad. This is what we need to do in order to achieve freedom. This this is what we need to achieve.